Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it is Palm Sunday, and I am so excited. It is one of my favorite Sundays. Just watching all of those kids parade in circles, waving palms and shouting Hosanna. I don't know about you, but it makes my heart sing. I love watching the kids march around and saying Hosanna. So the text that we read at the beginning of the service comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it is where Jesus makes his triumphal entry. In this particular verse, in this the way Luke has written it, they don't yell Hosanna. They are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But in Matthew and Mark, they're shouting Hosanna. And that is such an appropriate call. The word Hosanna means save us now. Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And it is most appropriate that the people are calling out to him, Hosanna, save us now. Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is coming to an end. And he knows that he is on his way and that this is his last week. You may recall that in Luke 9, verse 51, it is literally the turning point of the Gospel of Luke. It is where Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem. The verse says this, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he turned his face towards Jerusalem. And the whole rest of the Gospel of Luke is about his journey to Jerusalem and his Palm Sunday entry to Jerusalem. The people were welcoming him as a conquering king. That's what the palms and the cloaks are about. It's a way that you honor a king that is having a parade that has conquered. Except that Jesus is not riding in on a big and mighty steed, but on a donkey. Because he's that kind of God. He's an humble God here to do his work. The people were excited that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to save them. But not everyone in Jerusalem was excited to see Jesus come to town. This crowd that is welcoming him with loud hosannas and praise God, praise the one who comes in the name of the Lord, in just a few short days will be among the ones yelling, crucify him, hang him on a cross. The people welcomed him like a conquering king. But the people, some people were not happy that he was here. Our text today comes from Luke 20. It is verses 19 through 26. So let me just kind of catch you up to where we are in our text. Jesus has hit town with his palm parade. He made his way to the temple, where he promptly drove out the money changers in the temple. Then Jesus spent a couple of days teaching in the temple. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees weren't particularly happy. And so finally they confront him and they say, by what authority are you teaching these things? And Jesus, in fact, questions their authority and then tells a parable that kind of throws some shade on the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. And that's where our text picks up. It's chapter 20, verses 19 through 26. Hear these words. When the scribes and chief priests realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to lay hands on him at that very hour, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be honest in order to trap him by what he said, so as to hand him over to the jurisdiction and the authority of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are right in what you say and teach and show deference to no one, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But he perceived their craftiness, and he said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose head and whose title does it bear?" They said, "The emperor's." He said to them, "Then give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to trap him by what he said. And being amazed by his answer, they became silent. This is the word of God for the people of God. So our text begins by these chief priests, these scribes, wanting to lay hands on him, to attack him, to carry him off. But they didn't do that because they feared the people. So they sent some folks to follow him around and listen closely to what he has to say, and to try to trick him into saying something that will get him in trouble with the authorities. First century Palestine, it was a tricky place. They were an occupied people. One of the very first things that an emperor did was put his head on a coin and his title on a coin. Because if he had his face on the coin of the land, guess what? He could tax those coins. He could tax the people. So that where we are, this question that they are asking him is actually a very tricky question, given the circumstances of the Jewish people at the time. The question of paying taxes to Caesar, really this question is a no-win question for Jesus. Either way he answers it, he's going to make somebody mad. The tax that was paid to Caesar was a tax that he levied. In that land, there were many Jews who argued that the tax to Caesar should not be paid. Many learned scholars in the Jewish faith said, "You should not pay this tax because he is not really our king. We have one king, and that is God himself." Now, we all know what happens when we don't pay our taxes. That does not end well for us, does it? The same is true in first century Palestine. If Jesus said, "Don't pay the tax," guess who's going to come a-calling? The tax police will be on their way, and he will be on Caesar's list because he is encouraging people to not pay their taxes. This question is a no-win question for Jesus. But the text tells us that Jesus sees through this trickery. And so Jesus is wise here. He knows what they're trying to do. And he, having seen this trap, he answers the question in a very clever way. He asks them a question. "Show me a denarius. Whose head is on there? Whose picture is on there? Whose title is on there?" and they respond. So he actually has them helping answer the very question that they asked him. Getting them involved in answering the question makes them a part of the answer. He totally disarms them. They have nothing with which they can accuse him. And in answering this question, he creates this dichotomy of the world and God's world. With that wise answer, he silences them. And he has made the statement to give to the state what belongs to the state and to give to God what belongs to God. But I think really the implication in this story, in this text, is that everything belongs to God. That is the truth. The emperor belongs to God. The denarius belongs to God. All of the people belong to God. All of creation belongs to God. That is the truth. I think that is the point that Jesus is making, that everything belongs to God. In Romans 12, Paul calls for us, followers of Jesus Christ, to make ourselves a holy and living sacrifice. Paul is telling us that we have to give our whole selves, all that we are, all that we have. So my question for you this day is, what are you holding back? What is it that you are keeping for your own rather than turning it over to Jesus? Perhaps you're withholding money until you have enough money for your retirement. Perhaps you are withholding a part of your heart, unwilling or afraid to give it all. Perhaps you are unwilling to talk with others about the gospel. Maybe you are unwilling to share about the good news of Jesus Christ and this gift of salvation that you have found. Oh, that's just too uncomfortable for me. Perhaps you are unwilling to reach out to your neighbors who need food, who need help, who need a hand up. Perhaps you are unwilling to help with that. You see, Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and there is this parade, this triumphal entry. Only Jesus knows at this time how this is going to end. He knows that this is going to end with his painful death, his crucifixion on a cross. They have this parade because they're saying, yay, he is here to save us. And only Jesus knows the cost of being saved at that moment. Jesus walks into this place knowing this is his last week on earth. Jesus is prepared to give his entire self for you. To give everything that he has, including his life, for you. That you might be forgiven. That you might have the gift of eternal life. Jesus is willing to die for you. You see, we live on this side of that first Easter morning, that first moment of the empty tomb. And we know how this story ends. I think about him being nailed to the cross, dying, each breath so very painful, bearing the weight of the sins of the world. The weight of your sin bearing down on him. We know that he dies for us, bearing that sin, so that we might be forgiven. We might be justified. That we might have eternal life. So what are you holding back? What are you holding back from the one who died that you might live? Maybe it is time that you should care more about what kind of a follower of Jesus Christ you are. Are you one that is willing to give his or her whole self to become that living and holy sacrifice that Paul talks about in the book of Romans? Maybe it's time that you care about the path that you are walking. Everything belongs to God. Your life, your soul, the very next breath you draw is because God wills it. God gave everything that you might live, that you might be forgiven. It is my prayer for you that in this Holy Week, that you will give yourself entirely to the pursuit of Jesus. That you will stop holding things back. And that you will commit to a life of faith in which you are a holy and living sacrifice, striving for the kingdom of God. Won't you let him in? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so unworthy of the gift that you have given to us. We know we never can earn it. We can never be good enough. It is through your grace and grace alone that we are forgiven. Oh God, as we enter this Holy Week, as we remember the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, and as we remember his crucifixion on the cross, we ask, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit to liven our souls, to strengthen our commitment to be a sacrifice for you. That we will no longer hold back things for ourselves, but that we will live every moment for you. Oh God, make it so. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.